Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 277. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I am Michael Kaplan.
You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram, turnersparks.com. I'm going to be on tour all this fall. I'll be in Carson City, Nevada at one of the casinos. I believe the Nugget, maybe. I'm not sure which casino.
The Nugget.
But go look it up. It's at turnersparks.com. I'll be there September 2nd and 3rd. I will be in I have a bunch of dates, but November, I'm going to be in Dallas, all over Texas. California is all in September. Wow. October, I'm all over the place. So anyway, go to turnersparks.com, find that out. You can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on all social media platforms. Kaplan. Yeah,
that's me.
On the podcast today, we're talking about the Balkan region in general. I want to go through all of them, but it's going to be a lot of Serbia. We're finding out what this war is still going on in Ukraine, Russia versus Ukraine for the heavyweight title.
For those who aren't paying attention.
Of the world. And Serbia, the Balkans Serbia, I guess, specifically finds themselves caught in the middle of all of this. We're going to find out what they're somehow trying to play. They're still trying to play both sides.
Triangulate. Yeah.
I didn't know that was possible with this war. I thought if any war, you have to pick a side. And Serbia is somehow saying, no. They're Switzerland.
They're like the parent who's got two kids in a basketball game on different teams. And they're just watching and they're saying, I don't root for either team. I just root for a good ball game.
They're putting on half of the Russian jersey, the Ukraine jersey, and then sewing it together to make one new jersey.
I just want to see a nice game being played, everybody. So
just want to see a nice war.
A nice war, a nice clean war. Yeah, so that's them right now. We have
Peja Bajovic coming up in just a minute to talk to us all about that and inform us on what's going on over there in the Balkans. But Cap, before that,
yes,
patreon.com/lostinamerica, folks, we need you as a Patreon subscriber. For $5 a month, you get Cap and I doing our Live from the Bunker show. You get a bonus show. Full throttle comedy podcast of me and Kaplan. We're currently the next few months. We filmed this TV show in El Salvador a few weeks ago. We're going to start editing it and then we're going to start putting it together. But that's all I'm going to say on this show, because if you want the beat by beat updates of what's going on, you're going to have to subscribe to patreon.com/lostinamerica. You get the behind the scenes. You get every step of the way, what it's like for the two of us idiots to try to put together and then sell a television show. We will tell you about every single pitch meeting we go into. Mm.
You get the director's cut while it's happening, is what you're saying.
While it's happening. Is there anywhere else that gives you that?
No, this is the best, you know, best deal in the world.
Everything that Kaplan screams at a producer, an Amazon Prime producer in a pitch meeting.
I'm going to make a lot of threats.
Every demand he makes for more money.
I need to be paid what Ted Danson is being paid.
Yes, the Ted Danson money. We're going to find everything. But that will all be at patreon.com/. If that's not enough of a sell, I don't know what is. For $10 a month, you get your own T-shirt. For $20 a month, you get your own ad on this show. We have Dennis Owens writing ads. A bunch of people. Drew Fralick writes ads from time to time. You get your own ad once a month on this show. Live read. There's nowhere else you can get that. We go out to thousands of people a week.
Thousands. So this is the best way to reach your target audience. They've said this is the number one advertising mechanism because we don't edit it. There's no whatever you say, we're going to read. Anything you say.
I like how you said they said it. Who said Lost in America is the number one advertising platform?
It was in a magazine.
I agree with you. They did say it, but people are saying
marketing class.
People on the streets are stopping me and saying you're the number one advertising platform.
And get in now because we are about to really do something we can't talk about. We're going to ramp it up and we're going to get a whole new bunch of ads soon. So you won't get in if you don't get in now.
What, how are we doing that? I mean, you can tell me off air.
I'll just tell you off air. Yeah, we're just making stuff up.
Wow, Kaplan has a play. Oh, I'm excited to hear it. I'm excited to hear it. Look at that, folks. We're making moves. I don't even know what the moves are. That's how high level.
Plus, it's the summer of war in Long Island City. There's a lot of updates on. We got a lot of crime in this area. So I gotta tell everyone on Patreon. Patreon gets the summer of war updates. So
patreon.com/lostinamerica. Kaplan.
Yeah.
What do you know about Serbia and the Balkan countries and where they stand on this war in Ukraine?
I mean, this is a tough one to because as you said, we're dealing with not one country. We're dealing with, you know, we're giving the audience more than one country today. We're giving them the whole Balkans.
This show should cost double.
This show should cost more. I mean, it's what's 2 times 0 or 4 times 0? So, no, I know, like, you know, we were discussing Serbia is kind of like trying to have it always. They want to be in the EU, right? But they're also sort of a pro-Russian puppet. Like, they're not puppets, the wrong word, but I know their leader likes to pretend to be pro-Russian. So I know that they're in a tough spot here. That's all I know. So I'm
one fact that blew me away, and I want to bring Peja in right after this to clear this up. I read that the Serbian military does exercises with the United States, like joint exercises with the United States military, with NATO military, and with the Russian military.
That's how you get all the philosophies. You get them all.
Is there any other country on earth? Like, so I know that Russia is partners with Belarus, but Belarus isn't also partners with the U.S. They're not doing joint exercises. Lukashenko is not having meetings with Biden, and they're... people are directing him around the yard.
Is there anyone else they want to do exercises with? You know, China, Israel, anywhere else?
It's crazy. North Korea. So I don't know if that's true. If it is true, my main question is, why is that allowed on all sides? Folks, this man has a great show on Amazon you can check out right now, a stand-up comedy special called The Balkan Brain. Go buy it, watch it, whatever you have to do on Amazon. I'm sure it's on iTunes and all that if you want to listen to it, but watch it. You get the full experience of the great stand-up comedian coming to us right now from Zagreb, Croatia. Please, everybody welcome Peja Bajevic to the show. Peja, how did we do it? Our synopsis.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, what's going on? Good seeing you.
Hi. You opened it up rather well. Except the ending, you know, you're building it up with, you know, Serbia this, Serbia that, Serbia, you know, behaving, why Serbia, Balkans, why, and then you introduce guy from Croatia.
You're the Balkan brain. You have a brain that is so large, it covers the whole region.
Well, we're not only talking Serbia today, as Cap said. We should charge double or quadruple because we're going to be talking about 4, 5, 6, 8 countries. I don't know. I haven't checked the latest stats on the Balkans. There might be even more countries that I don't know about that got invented yesterday.
But I, Yeah, the thing is, I believe that among a few thousand of viewers of this worldwide known podcast, with some Serbian background, we're building up. Oh, it's going to be a Serbian comedian. Bam, bam, bam. Croatian one. Well, actually, resident of Croatia with background in Serbia, Bosnia, Montenegro, and everything, which makes me qualified to try to answer part of your questions. First, it's not a war. It's a special military operation, okay?
That's the alert.
This is for all the Putin's spies, going through the
internet. Is that how the news is reporting it in Croatia or just Serbia?
In Serbia, Serbia is using conflict. I believe that they say conflict in Ukraine, or they wouldn't use aggression or invasion, but the conflict, they might, there would be a slip of a tongue with saying war. Whereas next door Croatia, it's aggression, it's invasion, it's war crimes, very much Western terminology has been used to report whatever is happening in Ukraine right now. One very important term when it comes to the Balkans, it's Western part, because Eastern part of the Balkans is EU territory of Romania and Bulgaria. We'll leave them for now. That's a different pair of shoes. Stabilocracy. At the beginning of this century, so 20 plus years ago, when all the wars were over, the international community, which is Western countries plus Russia, kind of agreed that as long as there's no open conflict, it's okay. It's all right to kind of develop market economy and democracy and pluralism and everything. Yeah. But the most important thing, no conflicts, no wars. Have them throw shit at one another, fine, but no wars. Nothing. And that kind of state's been going on for the past, I'd say, 20 plus years.
You mean no war in the Balkans?
No
war. As long as there's no war in the
region.
Region.
As long as there's no armed conflict, nor any incidents. Well, there were some incidents, but nothing major.
But sanctions or any type of like economic aggression or anything, that's okay. But war is you can't have war.
There was no economic sanctions after the conflicts were done. There were some political processes of Slovenia, Northwestern, and then Croatia joining the EU and stuff like that, and other countries falling behind in that process. But no wars, nothing. So this is kind of it's a piece of land where everyone from the outside and from within want to keep calm without the conflict. Why? Because if you ask me, what happened around here in the 90s was kind of a rehearsal, general rehearsal, if you want, for what's been going on now in Ukraine. Kind of a field assessment by both Russians and NATO. So if we have, because the situation in terms of history and geography and cultures and political background is kind of similar. On one side you have traditional Eastern Orthodoxy Slavic political ties, and on the other hand, on the other side you have, first of all, money. And then, democracy as such, where the kind of money flow functions better than.
And can you break down who those sides are for this one, this current war, and then the war in the 90s?
Yeah. Well, it's got to do with history, of course. Western parts, now including Slovenia and Croatia, were part of Austro-Hungarian Empire. So although deep provinces, less relevant in terms of size and importance, still got some kind of a Western background and Catholic faith, which around here tends to be not crucial, but rather important. On the eastern part, you have Serbia, which as a country, as a state, has the law, the longest lasting statehood history. They became their own country. They got independence 1878, Berlin Congress, I think. So it's almost 150 years, and they were the kingdom and stuff like that. They're the biggest. They're not big, but the biggest around here. And then you have little countries in between where you have ethnic Serbs living, among others. So first one being Bosnia, then you have Montenegro, and then you have Northern Macedonia, and then you have Kosovo. And why is Kosovo important? Because majority people in Kosovo are non-Serbs, non-Slavs, which makes them, in the meantime, biggest opposition to any Russian influence whatsoever ever since. Even although Albania and Yugoslavia were socialist countries, and Albania next door to former Yugoslavia was the one of the stronghold communist, hardline communist countries, they were very much detached from the Soviet Union influence at the time. And I believe the West and USA and NATO at the time in 70s and 80s, when they were doing their own reporting and analysis and everything about this part of the world, they realized that ethnic Albanians living both in Albania and Kosovo at the time, Yugoslavia, would be the nations, ethnic groups that they can cooperate with in order to diminish the Russian influence. And that actually did happen. So, you know, you have, it's Balkanization, you know, too much history for not that much geography. And the big thing is happening in Ukraine, but there are consequences felt around here as well. Nothing concrete yet, but stuff is being going on. And as you mentioned, Serbia is playing this game of, we're okay with everyone. We understand everyone's concerns. We just don't want to be involved. You know, we're friends with everyone. We want to be in the EU. They want to be in the EU because EU is the biggest investor in Serbia, much bigger investor than anyone else, followed by the States and then Turkey and China. And then Russia, far away in a line of the, you know, international investors. So they want to be there. And the culture of living in today's Western Balkans is very much Western. You know, we are provincial. We used to be socialist communist. We have some cultural ties with Russia and Ukraine and Eastern Europe as such, but we're kind of a Western world fringe, if you want. So they say, we want to be fine with the West because that's where we belong, but our brothers, at the core of that is that the public Serbia or the Serbian of territories where the Serbs live is kind of very much pissed off about the bombing campaign by the NATO in 1999. Serbian public is still unconvinced that there were atrocities against ethnic Albanians in Kosovo. And for that matter, Serbian atrocities against Croats and Bosniaks in the wars earlier in the night. No, there's a big conspiracy theory type narrative that all those are lies pushed by the West, by the NATO, Vatican being the biggest threat around here. And it's ordered to And it's there in order to destroy the serfhood, whatever that means.
So just to recap quickly, so in the 90s, the Serbians, Slobodan Milosevic, were creating, were committing war crimes in, which has been proven, in the Albanian region. NATO then stepped in and had a fierce bombing campaign.
That's just one of the episodes. There were atrocities taking place.
There's a distrust of NATO. Yeah.
So therefore, Serbian people
distrust.
Would they distrust NATO? And so because they distrust NATO, NATO is the enemy of Russia, so they'll side with Russia. I mean, is that too simple?
Hear me out.
Yeah.
1991, Serbia and the leadership led by Slobodan Milosevic was the biggest member of Yugoslav Federation, and within the period of 1 year took over control of the most of Yugoslav army, which at the time was the third largest in Europe. And what they did in 91, they actually started storming into Croatia, saying, we are there to protect the Serbs.
Mm. Right.
Does it remind you? And Croats are turning Nazi because Croatian, satellite Croatian national state in the Second World War was an ally of Third Reich. Does it remind you of something?
Yeah.
And then overlapping into next door Bosnia and Herzegovina with the same narrative. They did big atrocities against the Serbian people in the Second World War. We are here to denazify and prevent that from happening. That's why I said, you know, and the Kosovo that took place, you know, 8 years later, 7 or 8 years later, is somewhat different because the narrative was Kosovo is part of Serbia, whereas Croatia and Bosnia were not. Serbian forces were sent there to protect the ethnic Serbs outside of the country. And Kosovo was a province, officially part of the Serbian, at the time, smaller federation. So, and it's the same thing, it's the same mentality, if you want, as we see over there in Russia. We're defenders of the truth. We're defenders of the justice. We are fighting evil, Western, corrupt
Nazis. Evil, Western, corrupt Nazis.
I mean, I think it was a good
capitalist
band name.
Nazi, evil.
Put them on.
Evil, Western.
When you can't think of a word, just throw in Nazi. It always works.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think it was the Russian minister, foreign minister, somebody said they compared Kosovo to Ukraine even. They compared the Donbas region to Kosovo, saying that, which was, well, you know,
that was a mistake.
Man. No, that was a big blow, man.
Yeah.
Because, big blow for Serbian leadership. Oh, that one was biggie. That one was bigger than.
Can you explain why? Can you explain the topic and explain why to our audience?
Sure. Because, Serbian president Aleksandar Vučić had two big humiliations. First one was signing of some special peace deal in Washington with Donald Trump a couple of years ago.
Yes, and we covered that here.
Yes, and he was assigned this little table, you know, the kind of a school class type table, you know, for him to sign this kind of historical agreement that never...
Did Trump really, on purpose gave him a small table?
No, Trump just didn't care.
Okay.
Trump and his people, you know,
he never heard of Serbia. He doesn't know.
It's like Balkan tribes, you know, behaving. So he's a big papa, Donnie, you know, who's there to show his own. Yeah. To, you know, that he's got influence and everything. Nothing ever happened with that deal. Anyway. And the second one came from Putin just a couple of months ago, because, you know, the whole shebang is going on. And then Putin, in one of his interviews, said, well, we will be, and this is me talking Russian accent, we will be using Kosovo as a model to have Donbas region in Ukraine being internationally, I mean, being succeeded from Ukraine and later on internationally recognized, which for Serbs is like,
because basically he's saying if Kosovo is a country, then Donbas can be a country.
Exactly. Right.
But Serbia doesn't believe Kosovo is a country.
Serbia never wanted Kosovo to be a country.
No. Well, no. They. That's one of those things. I mean, you know, I was raised in Serbia. My parents live in Serbia. So I kind of, you know, I'm at home when I go there. Mm-hmm. And for decades now, when you talk to people, eye to eye, you know, face to face, most of them will say Kosovo is a lost cause. It's been lost for ages, not only now, for ages, but we have to claim it to be a part of our country because it's patriotic.
Yep.
Yeah. And no one really knows how that will you know, finish. I mean, even in theory, if Biden goes, you know, more senile than he is, and he signs a deal saying Kosovo is returned to Serbia, Serbs wouldn't know what to do with it. They really wouldn't. I mean, it's 15% of its former territory with almost 2 million of very disloyal non-Serbian speaking population.
It would create more problems than anything.
It would create much, much, much more problems than, you know, and I don't think that trying to ethnically cleanse it from that territory once again is a possibility.
It's a little messy. So, can I ask a question back to the Russian thing? So what's the pull? It seems like as you've laid it out, that Russia's not even the number one trading partner with Serbia. It's like number four, five, or six.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
So if I'm the president of Serbia, for example.
Yeah.
Why is it a benefit for me to stay neutral and side with Russia in that sense, as opposed to just forgetting Russia? Is it because the voting people support Russia, so it'll look bad voting wise? You won't get reelected.
There was a very long lasting and rather toxic campaign of Russophilia happening for the past 20 plus years, ever since the 90s. You know, Russia is there. You know, Russia was always there. Yeah, Russia was always there to defend Serbia. And in the 90s, they were wounded because of losing the Cold War. But then the new Tsar emerged and he's there to help us and blah, blah, blah. And then those guys, they bombed us, you know. And there is a huge distrust towards the West. Mm.
That's really like,
we want their money, and that's pretty much it. We don't want their culture. We don't want their system. We don't want their, you know, that's how it is. It's not popular to be Western oriented in today's Serbia. That you are seen as alienated, you're seen as a traitor, you're seen as a sellout, if you want. And two-faced president of Serbia, for internal purposes, he's like Russia, Serbia, Kosovo, Kosovo. Mm-hmm. Every time, you know, he goes out or for the international purposes, he's like, human rights and European Union and Western integration.
When he goes to meet with NATO and he goes to the UN and
speaks in different languages. Yes.
Hence the military exercises that he does with whomever wants to exercise, you know,
play a lot of exercise
with guns and stuff like that.
A lot of exercises. Know. This army is really fit.
Yeah,
who wants to do push-ups with us today? So, do they do a different style? They do like, because I know some workouts have a Russian style kettlebell, American style.
Is it like Rocky IV, where the Americans is like, yeah, like we got Russian guys running through the snow?
Yeah, it's a different Siberian training. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, many around here would say Russian soldiers, they don't need weapons. They kill with their teeth.
Oh, my God.
Americans, they need a bunch of technology and everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Do you see Rocky IV? Didn't they see that movie?
Man, that was long time
ago. Do we need to make a new Rocky for them?
Well, let me put it this way. If you were to use Rocky for reference, some hardliners, and there are some around here, would say yes. But Rocky hates America.
Rocky, why? Those are fighting words.
Yeah, Rocky is a working class immigrant who hates the establishment.
Is that how they showed it? Is there a different cut they showed in? They have a new cut.
No. It's just a matter of interpretation. Yeah, come on, man.
Movies have different words.
Let's get into this. How do they interpret Rocky? How does he hate America?
He's an American loser.
Systems against him, Hollywood, Apollo.
Have to understand that Trump and Trumpism is nothing new around here.
Yeah. Oh, Rocky would probably vote for Trump. You're right.
We live Trumpism here for the past 30 years. So, you know.
Doing offense with him.
Yeah. So there are many losers of economic and political transition around here, and they blame West for it.
So it's not like a pro-Russia thing, ultimately. It's just a hatred of the West. And I was going to say, like Serbian food is, for instance, much better than Russian food. It's like got a Turkish Middle Eastern influence, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Culturally, they're far superior over there. I don't know why they're even looking at Russia,
You're right saying, you know, I would say it's more anti-Western than pro-Russian.
Yeah. That's it. Interesting.
All right, let's take a break. We got to take a break to pay some bills. But when we get back, I want to find out why Putin's letting this all go, why he's letting it slide, why they're allowed to work with the West.
He's lost his fastball, I some say.
I would imagine. But Kaplan, we are part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network. That is us. Mm. That is the Political Orphanage with Andrew Heaton. Flagship show over there at the World's Most Podcast Network. That is Dr. Andrea Jones Roy in the Majoring in Everything podcast. And that is us, Lost in America. Kaplan, everybody sign up for our Patreon page. We just had Sugar Brady, a great Patreon subscriber. I don't know I don't know if you caught this, Kaplan, but he unsubscribed 2 days ago.
What? And then Sugar?
Last night he came back and he said, just kidding, I'm back.
Oh, Sugar.
It was a great practical joke by Sugar. He said he was going to unsubscribe for an entire month to see how much shit we would talk about him on the air.
We would have given him a lot of shit. And then he had to catch up, though, because you couldn't hear it. I should have mentioned this earlier. We're going to get to this, but Sugar Brady knows that on the Patreon show, we talked about how I nearly died when I met Paige in person. We're going to get into that later on. So,
Paige came to New York City. I was gone. Kaplan met him and Kaplan
almost died, but only the Patreon viewers know that. Listeners.
Almost died of alcohol poisoning. Let's, and now a word from your local sponsor. All right, we're back, Kaplan. Do you want to fill the crowd in or should we wait on the alcohol poisoning?
Should we end with that or should we do it? I don't know. It's the.
Go for it.
Well, okay. So Peja came to New York. You were away, right?
I was somewhere.
He did two shows.
Australia, I think.
Oh, I was in Australia at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Good excuse. So he did two shows around the nearby me in Astoria. One was in Serbian, right?
And Queens.
One was in English. Yeah, in Queens. Yep. So I went with the English one. I took Serge from Queens, who's Serbian. And we met afterwards. Here's the problem is, and this time you got to fix this. You had it in a vegetarian restaurant. So I refused to eat. I thought it was going to be a big Serbian feast. I was all excited. Wait,
Kaplan, you protest vegetarian. This is a new part of Kaplan I didn't know about. You're that anti-like liberals that you won't eat vegetarian
food? What happened was I was first upset it wasn't Serbian food. I thought it'd be Serbian food. Then I was like, all right, I'll get a burger. I ordered a burger. And then after I ordered it, I realized that it was a veggie burger. And I was so appalled by this trickery that I canceled the order. It's a real war crime. So I just kept drinking all night. I was drinking like Manhattans And after the show, you and I, you came and joined us. We had some drinks there.
Yeah.
Now this is where it gets fuzzy, but you took us to another place, right?
To a Bosnian restaurant.
But we didn't eat at the Bosnian restaurant either, did we?
Well, you know, no, you just don't remember.
Oh, did I eat?
No, you didn't eat. No.
Kaplan's been talking about this night for months on our other show, but this is the piece we don't know.
So I don't know where we went.
We went to a Bosnian restaurant. Somewhere in Queens.
Astoria.
Astoria. Some friends were inviting me. So come over. But the kitchen was closed because that was past midnight.
Oh, the kitchen was closed.
And the kitchen was closed. So we were there.
Not for the Balkan rain, though.
Yeah. I don't know who you are.
No. They actually knew who I was, but they never knew who's the guy with me. And the bouncer was like, "Are you sure?" He's like, "I'll take care of him. Don't worry."
There's a bouncer at a restaurant.
Yeah, well, it's turning into a nightclub after the, you know.
Or they close the kitchen, it becomes a nightclub, yeah.
It's one of those exactly. And the Kaplan was there, and he's behaving.
Okay.
The Kaplan is there, he's behaving. He's, you know, listening to some Bosnian Balkans music over there, played. And I'm trying to talk to him, but he's like, yeah, cool. And at some point, Kaplan goes, "I'm out of here." No, fine. So we order Uber, and the Uber was driven by this really good-looking, non-threatening-looking woman. I was like, "Yeah, this is fine." And Kaplan enters because next morning you were supposed to drive your kids to Philly, right?
I did drive them to Philly. I always rally. That's like adrenaline. You always, no matter how hungover you are, you always, when
what
the kids
was your
call
blood them, alcohol level on that drive to Philly?
Which I thought poor kids will not, they're not to be seeing Philly anytime soon. And I would go days because the condition this guy was at. Nevertheless, the next day, early afternoon, Facebook posts from Philly. And that's where I congratulate you.
Yeah, no, but you put me in an Uber. I vaguely remember this woman you're talking about. Like, it's in the memory burn, but then at some, I don't know why, I had a theory that maybe I didn't have a mask, but I don't really know what or I was just obnoxious, but for some reason she canceled the Uber. There's no charge, so I don't know how far she drove. And I was out and I just was walking.
Are you like, Me Too-ing yourself right now, Kaplan?
I don't know what happened. No, I don't know memory. I remember like bits and pieces of like, I think what happened was I tried to walk. I think I thought I knew where I was and I tried to walk to like where the bus was. I went to the water and I just got lost. And I ended up in a Con Ed facility or some sort of like warehouse where I was like trapped. Like I couldn't get out. It was like a big complex on the water. And then at one point I tried to climb something and I fell and I hit my head. I was like bleeding, which was really, I'll fill you in is that I had this heart procedure recently. And when I was in the hospital, they're asking me questions. Yeah. And I'm like, "Have you hit your head recently?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And like, what? I don't know. But I survived it. I ended up getting an Uber an hour and 45 minutes after the original one. And this is the best part. Cause if you look at my steps, I walked over 10,000 steps during this hour and a half period. The Uber I picked up was 0.4 miles away from the Uber you put me in. So I walked like, it's like the Jews in the desert who walked 40 years in Sinai. I just wandered around for 10,000 steps and I ended up like a few blocks away from where you left me.
You could have ended up in Jamaica.
And I've tried to, sometimes I'm with the kids and I'll be driving around a story and I'll be like, "That looks familiar." It's like I'm flashbacks to the night of like running or I was like, "Look, running." Wow. So you can really kill
canceled,
me, man.
She canceled Uber.
Yeah. I don't know why.
For your behavior.
I don't know if it might've been, I didn't have a mask. Cause I know I didn't have one with me that day. And this was back when they enforced that stuff. It might've been cause I was so drunk. Maybe I didn't like her route. Sometimes I don't like where the routes are taken. I don't know what.
Sometimes I don't like the route.
Maybe right. she's an anti-Semite. I don't know. But that's what happened.
Don't blame the victim, Kaplan.
Yeah, right. It was my fault. It was it was definitely my fault. You're right.
Don't do me too, Jew thing.
But next time you come to America, I will behave better, but we're going to eat a meal. That's all I want. Yeah, well, I want
to
get a meal.
I'll take you to the proper.
No vegetables.
No vegetarian. Food. No vegetables and a kitchen open. That's all I ask.
Meat okay, only.
Cool. Meat.
I can all do that.
So
I can
why?
Do that.
That mystery solved. Paige, why? I understand the Russians. Why does Putin allow Serbia to not pick a side? Because he doesn't let Belarus, for example. If there's one thing I've learned about Putin, it's when he takes control of, when he thinks he can take control of a country, he really takes control.
Yeah, but Belarus is next door. Serbia is far away.
But you why? Know, I mean, so why doesn't he say?
That's the thing, you know. Like their foreign minister Lavrov, the horse bare faced guy,
the Russian foreign minister. Yes.
Yes. You know, he was supposed to come to official visit to Serbia, and he couldn't because the countries surrounding Serbia wouldn't give him the air passage.
Yeah, that would be Bulgaria.
Greece, Bulgaria, or Greece, or Romania, or Hungary, for that matter. But in order to reach Hungary, he needs to fly.
So there's a no-fly zone around Serbia, but not around Ukraine. But yeah,
it's just to clear it up: Montenegro, North Macedonia, and Bulgaria were the ones that
failed. Most of the surrounding countries, they just said no, this guy is not going to fly over, and it was a bit of a scandal.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, illustrates how kind of phony and weak ties in between these two countries are. You know, so it's not up to Putin to allow, you know, Serbia being also friends also with the West.
Right.
And it might even serve a purpose to him to have someone, you know, closer there that he can use as a mediator. One thing that Serbian president and their leadership want is to continue this non-aligned international policy that existed during Yugoslav times, where when Yugoslav Federation was neither NATO and the West nor Warsaw Pact. It was a socialist state, but actually friends with Middle Eastern, Northern African or Asian nations, saying, yeah, we're better than you. We will cooperate. We don't mind East-West divisions and stuff like that. It was also phony, but, you know, it existed for a few decades. And that's what Serbia wants to be now, like in between. You know, you're bad kids and we're smart kid, you know, in between.
And so Putin allowed, because I would think that would make Putin look weak by letting them also, because not only does he, Serbia not only goes and votes against Russia and at the UN summits, but they also, there's been reports they allowed U.S. Like missiles and stuff, U.S. arms to travel through their country to get to Ukraine.
Might be, but, you know, I mean, like I said, Putin is, Russia is powerful, but it's not that powerful. You know,
yeah,
so
but
they,
he likes
they
to
can,
think he is that powerful. It's
he
crazy.
Needs friends. He needs all the friends he can get. There,
I like to think that I'm more powerful than I am, you know.
But he hasn't publicly denounced them. That's very telling. That means there's clear, he understands there's clear limits to his power, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a whole mishmash of you know, statements and justifications and rationalizations and interpretations. You know, this is you know, it's tiring, but you have to follow it if you want to know what's been going on, both in the field in Ukraine and diplomatically. And
do they have relations like with Ukraine, Serbia as well?
Yeah,
no? They do
as well.
They have okay.
Serbia is not an ally to Russia.
Right.
Yeah. It's just
it's
neutral.
A friend.
Right. They're
it's neutral.
Right.
It's friend. It's understanding.
But it's the only country left besides Belarus. That's, well, it's the only country that's left in Europe, as far as I know, that's neutral right now, right?
Next door, Bosnia, which has got half of it is a Serbian entity, is also kind of stuck because of that.
Yeah, because most countries, aren't a lot of countries that are were allies with Ukraine and Russia, but the ones that were all chose Ukraine.
Earlier on, except
for Serbia and
I mean, here in Croatia, it's clearly pro-Ukraine. I mean, you will hear voices. Yeah, in Croatia, you will hear voices saying, "Yeah, but the West, you know, it's."
So, why do they blame? I guess the first question is, do you know anyone who's pro, do you have any friends or family? And you have to like out people, but it's pro Russia. And I'm curious as to what is their rationale for why it's America's fault, this war between Ukraine and Russia.
Half of my family is pro Russian.
Okay.
Even more. And their narrative is that, NATO is poking the bear.
Got it. So that,
and that the NATO is expanding, and the Western world wants to break Russia apart, and that they've been using NATO, using Ukraine for that purpose. Simple as that. And this is Russia just defending itself and its interests and Russian speaking people outside of its borders and stuff like that. It's very simple.
Yeah.
You know, Russia didn't ask for it. You know, they were minding their own business.
Mind their own business. And these Nazis just appeared.
Minding their own business and attacking another country. Yeah. when you go on stage as a comedian, do you have to, do you avoid this topic? Do you go into it? Do you have to know that the crowd's going to be split?
You poke the bear.
Okay. That's it.
You poke the bear. You know, around here, stand-up comedy going audiences are not, supporters of Russia are these kind of marginal, lower income provincial residents. You know,
not for your kind of comedy.
not for stand-up in general. So they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't come. So you wouldn't be put in a situation to provoke someone. Yeah. And if you do, that would happen in Serbia or the Serbian part of Bosnia, and there would be some heckling saying, you know, trade. No, very often the comeback from that side is, you don't know. You don't know. You can't handle the truth.
Yes.
You know, that kind of response. Their truth is very simplistic, because it's very, like I said, those are Westerners are expanding. They want Russian resources. Russia is just defending itself. And in the meantime, Ukraine became very Nazi.
Yeah,
of course.
That's it.
They're all Nazis.
That's
Everyone it. Knows that.
And here, like I said, history, it's not history repeating, but patterns among the Serbs, those pro-Russian Serbs say, see, this is what happened. You know, we are the victors of the Second World War. And Croatians were losers. The same thing is with Russians and Ukrainians. Ukrainians were Nazis during the Second World War. Not true. Some of them were, but not true. And simplistic. Because, you know, for that kind of a massive support, you have to keep things simple.
And what about the Russians? I've read there's been Russians. So this is something that I haven't seen reported on at all in the West, but I just know through our podcast, through talking to people, there are a number of Russians leaving Russia right now.
Yeah.
Like getting out of Russia, I assume because all the sanctions and all that stuff. I also
economy's
read there's
collapsing,
a portion of those leaving Russia are going to Serbia.
Yeah.
Would those be pro-Putin Russians, or are they leaving because they don't agree with Putin?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I mean, some are sent from Russia to move to Serbia and do their part from there. Some left Russia because, you know, it's shitty, becoming more and more shitty. But they don't want to go into the Western countries, so they choose this kind of in-between territory. And some just can't afford living in Germany or Britain and stuff like that. They go to the Balkans because it's more affordable.
Do you have any in Croatia?
Yeah, there are some, but you don't know if they're Russian or Ukrainian, you know? Because to us, they sound and look the same.
Isn't that interesting?
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a Ukrainian language, although different from Russian, is it sounds to us almost the same.
Wouldn't Putin argue that's they're all one country? That sounds the same. Yeah.
Nothing new. I mean, earlier on, I wanted to kind of illustrate what the Balkans is using the Civil War reference in the States. So, okay, here you have East-West. Over there you had North and South.
Mm-hmm.
Balkans is the border states of the Civil War. And in the meantime, you know, I'd say... Serbia turned West Virginia, Kentucky, and Missouri. And Croatia and Slovenia turned Maryland and Delaware.
Okay.
And you know, and then you have these little countries of Bosnia and Montenegro and Kosovo and Albania being stuck in between. But so as echoes of civil war and the echoes of the Cold War, you know, you have Maryland and Delaware on one side and Missouri and Kentucky and West Virginia on the other side. Red states, blue states.
Do you put statues up of the other side in your country? That no.
That's no, we don't. Well, you know, we actually in these countries that kind of are more Delaware and Maryland type, there were communist time statues removed. Whereas
cancel culture.
Kind of a cancel culture, you know, whereas in Serbia, many are removed, but some stayed.
Yeah.
You know. Is
problematic.
I guess the same question that I asked earlier, but from the opposite side, why does the West or is the West, is NATO, the United States, all this kind of stuff, the EU, are they pushing Serbia to fully commit to their side, or are they happy with him to be neutral as well?
I think the stabilocracy period is over.
What's that mean? Stabilocracy.
Yeah, that's
stabilocracy. The thing that I was.
Stabilization. You mean
stable.
Like this neutrality type thing?
Well, calmness, no conflict zone.
I see that you said earlier.
You know, yeah, the thing that lasted for the past couple of decades, that time is up.
Is there any thought that if Putin takes Ukraine, he'll keep going? And I mean, I know they're not next door, but he would come to the Balkans and try to take back over.
No. We're too far away.
Too far away.
He isn't really.
No, we're just too far away. I think that God forbid he succeeds in Ukraine, he would go Belarus and maybe Baltics and stuff like that. The only thing he can cause here is a commotion and used, this would be a proxy war region.
Yep.
Not Red Army marching.
But give Erdogan that idea for the Turks to bring back the Ottoman Empire. And no.
Because you guys. More of a wishful thinking. I mean, they're big enough and close enough to have that kind of influence. But no. They have the whole Greece in between, and those guys,
there you go, buffer,
they wouldn't
those Greeks.
Yeah,
just fighting Greeks.
What about with your comedy? So you're doing 12 nights in a row now in English. You have that starting tonight.
That's
in, I guess, in your city, in Zagreb, Croatia, in
downtown Zagreb, for the first time ever, the format of that kind. So it's a 12 days run.
Yes.
Exactly. of stand-up comedy in English, in the middle of the, ever, we had English comedy nights in the city, but that was kind of a sporadic and you know, rarely would happen couple of times a year. This is me deciding, you know, to do it a dozen days in a row. Wow. And see what happens. Because Zagreb is a transitional spot for people coming, going to the Adriatic coast of Croatia or coming going back. And they stay for a couple of days here. It's a cozy town of, you know, 700,000 people with some culture and history and everything. So I decided, let's see. This is more of an experiment. I'm stuck in Zagreb because I have some writing to be done in a group writing. So there are schedules and stuff like that. So we'll see. I was actually doing the, is that the term, barking?
Yes, you were barking for the show. Passing out flyers.
Exactly. With a couple of my fellow comedians. And you see that people are a bit surprised, both Croats, you know, and international tourists. And it's actually I'm enjoying this thing of trying to identify a foreigner.
Oh, just so by dangerous. Their,
what
just
are the
by
signs?
Their appearance, you know. Of course, it's much easier if they're, you know, black or of Asian, you know, because we're
wearing like Balkans, a baseball cap or something. Or
Balkans actually statistically, I think we were talking about sometimes earlier. Statistically, the countries of the Balkans are the whitest part of the world. Mm. So we don't have many people from Africa or Asia and everything.
Right.
Yeah. Never
That's
did.
Why yeah.
So, you know, if you see a darker tan person, you know, 9 out of 10 is that they're from elsewhere. Okay. So I would look, and then also kind of a more Mediterranean or more
racial profiling.
it's kind of racial profiling being going on. And
you're not doing anything bad with it. So,
so if I go over there, I'm tan, because that could be, maybe I'll like to move.
Nah, man, I think like both of you would might
Turner's very
kind of
white.
Go under my radar. You know, I would have to kind of approach and which I was doing earlier today. You know, and you know, hear the language being used.
Well, nobody carries a camera anymore around their neck or like a map. People don't give themselves away that way. So
that makes it more difficult. Yeah.
So with the show. Do you have anyone performing with you, or is it just a solo show?
It is a solo show, but I will have special guests. And there is actually a Croatian guy who lived, Igor, who lived in Moscow for 10 years.
Oh, cool.
For 10 years doing stand-up comedy in English over there with Oleg Denisov, the guy who actually appeared in your podcast.
Friend of the pod.
Yeah. And Igor actually eventually left Moscow, came back to Croatia, and he will be doing the Edinburgh Fringe with Oleg in next week.
Oh,
so he will be coming here to do a couple of shows with me, you know, and some Croatian comedians that got quality 5 to 7 minutes.
But I mean, you're doing about an hour?
About an hour, yeah.
I mean, you're hilarious. I saw you perform in English, and when I was almost gonna, when I was bleeding to death on the side of the highway or the side of a Con Ed facility in New York, I thought, if this is how it ends, Kaplan, you went out with a great comedy show tonight. You had
an
amazing.
There you go. This is one of the best compliments I've received.
You want to live life? Yeah. Yeah. Like I had a good night.
The name of your show should be "A Great Way to Die."
Yeah,
Bajevich, well, a great way to die.
Are you performing at a vegetarian restaurant? No.
No, that's done. I mean, done, it's a nice place, but we're gonna look for a different one. And that night, actually, there was what was the head count? Kaplan, helped me. 30 people, 35.
I was gonna say 300, but no. Oh yeah, 35.
No. I mean, Kaplan and the couple over there were the only people with no Balkans background.
Yeah, there was a random American couple just there. I don't know why they were there.
Yeah. And these guys were, I guess they came for vegetarian dinner.
Yeah,
and
I think they came to eat, actually.
Yeah. And all the others were, you know, either people from Yugoslavia and their and they're plus one.
Yeah,
or
I brought
someone
my friend who's Serbian. Yeah.
And it was, and that couple actually turned to be they stole the show, because even Kaplan is doing, you know, international podcast Lost in America.
Yeah, so he watched basketball in the 90s.
He's got some, you know, global knowledge background. These two knew nothing.
I mean, it's a guy America. They were early on dating, and he had to go to a vegetarian restaurant because she made him go.
And
he was happy to have it.
But they loved it. They loved it. That's kind of an audience that I, you don't need to have some previous knowledge. Just have to be open.
Kaplan, I'm coming up with this idea, but what do you think, Cap? I think in New York, we should do 1 week a year, the Lost in America like festival.
Yeah,
where we have a different comedian who's one of our regular guests from a different country headline every night.
Yes,
that's actually a great idea. Find a sponsor. Don't go to Just for Laughs, because these guys.
No, we'll do it in New York. Everyone wants to go to Canada.
No, I know, but don't approach it. Don't approach it as they did, because there was in the festival that actually recently finished.
Lost in America.
There was in Montreal. They introduced the new night, New Faces International, a big thing. You know, it's like, oh man, of course I applied, but many did. Mm. And they ended up with Brits and Aussies.
Well, I can say I got a report from that show. And while we've had one of those comedians has been on Lost in America. He's great. He's a French guy. We love him. I heard he was
the French guy. Yeah.
I heard he was fantastic. I heard the rest of the show left a little bit to be desired, let's say. It was not a great show. They definitely could have found better people from around the world. We'll do the real version of this.
No, we're doing Lost in America Fest.
No, the comedians who are not native in English.
Exactly.
Start from there. Yeah.
You can't have British people on an international show.
Australian. No, man, come on.
Forget it.
Please.
Not happening.
No.
Maybe New Zealand.
If you speak English, you're an American. I agree with Paige.
If you speak English, you're an American.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Especially Canadians.
So, I mean, those are all states as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, there you go. See?
British Empire.
Donnie likes this. It's
no,
huge.
We're doing
it's
real international. Grand. We'll have you. We'll have Gabby Rivera from El Salvador. We'll get Oleg over. And I'll MC it. I'll host it. And we'll do a different one of you. Every
Anton
night.
And Ola can't be on the same night, but we'll have them both.
We'll split up the Russian and
I mean, exactly. That's a great idea. And actually, New York of all places.
And there's people from all these countries who live here. So
maybe you can get someone from Asia and other parts. We'll get the whole globe.
I know a guy. Yeah. We'll
get a guy from Antarctica.
We got it all figured out. Antarctica's going to be tough. That'll be you, Kaplan. Just put on a parka.
I'm going to get a penguin outfit. I'm going to put on a penguin costume. Come out. Do a little prop comedy.
That's happening.
Cultural.
Now we're talking.
And name it Lost in America.
Tell us next time you're coming. We'll plan it around you.
I'll accommodate to that.
Oh, nice.
Let's just hurry up
before the Third World War. Just
2023, it's coming. That's it, everybody. That's the podcast. Look at that. We not only talked about politics for an hour, we came up with a new idea.
A new festival. I got to write a paper about Rocky being a Trump voter for a film. I'm going to submit it to film school, grad school.
That's the new Rocky film. School.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Oh, my God.
Rocky 17, MAGA.
That's it. Peja, thank you for doing the show. Everybody check out The Balkan Brain on Amazon Prime. If you're in Croatia this week, go see his 12 nights, or for the next 2 weeks, go see 12 nights in a row. He's doing stand-up in Zagreb. Cap, that's it. What should we do?
We should, on that note, let's get lost.
Get lost.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.